Thank you very much for having me. Hopefully we'll get invited back. And it's great to be here. Have you been listening? God is already speaking. Great testimony. Anybody been on a bus or waiting for a bus, waiting for it to go, a train to go, a plane to go, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour? Is it amazing that your inconvenience can be the answer to someone else's prayer? Often we want everything to go really well for us. Come on. Come on, who resembles that remark? I do want things to go well for me. But I want you to just put your hand on your chest and say, it's not all about me. In saying that, God has put a little word on my heart for you, because God watches over his children with intent, with love, and I want you to get that. But really, God's been speaking. We choose. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Our car had a mechanical malfunction yesterday. Sort of made a noise. I went, that doesn't sound good. So I got out of the car and had a look. No, nothing had fallen off it. That was on the Friday. But yesterday, something did fall off it. And I went, I think it's quite an important piece. I'm a dentist by trade, not a mechanic. But even I know when bits of metal fall off your car that you maybe need it. Now, I do service my car, but obviously wear and tear, 90,000 miles, you know. But even in that, myself and Rebecca were rejoicing. Why were we rejoicing? Because nothing came off the car when I was doing under the speed limit, of course, on the motorway. Yeah. It came off when I was doing about 30 going up a slow hill, maybe less. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. I remember in the Amazon, and someone had lent us a car, and a motorbike came up alongside the car and put a gun to my head and wanted my wallet. And me being Irish, told them they couldn't have my wallet, and because that's obviously what you do. You negotiate with someone with a gun. And then I put my foot down and the lights opened and all the cars went at once, and God miraculously saved us. And my first words to Rebecca, who was crying, bah! Because sometimes women can be a bit dramatic. Hey, there's nothing like having the mic and getting in trouble with your wife. Come on. And no, Rebecca began to cry, and our son was right beside her in the back seat. And it was a traumatic and shocking experience. But what I said was, Rebecca, praise God. Start praising God. Start praising God. We're alive. See, how we go through life, it really depends on the choices we make in our positioning before God. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. I would say, as you rejoice and you are thankful and you make it as a choice. In other words, when you wake up, no matter what's happening, you say, God, thank you for the air in my lungs. God, thank you for the bed that I slept in. God, thank you for the covering that you've given me. Be thankful. It keeps the landing pad of God's blessing free of landmines. Yeah? I haven't started to preach yet, so just hold on. We're getting there. See, I want you to hear this. Our God is a God of hope. Our God is a God of transformation, of restoration, of redemption, of forgiveness, of new days and new seasons. So I don't know how your life has been going or your week has been going, but I really believe that God wants you to hear this. He loves you. He cares about you. And he is actually singing over you. Next, I've got a slide. Next slide. Who's on the slides? What's your name? I knew it was Phil. But isn't there another Phil? Is there another Phil here? No? I'm getting the names wrong. So what's your name again? Andy. Andy, Jonathan, and Phil. Okay, we'll get them. It's like, there we go. Andy, Jonathan, Phil. Just get it in my head, okay? It's not meant to be funny. Just behave. Anyway, The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That rejoice is overflowing joy. Shouting, jumping for joy. Anybody do any like running or any football? Any sporty people at all? Anybody just watch it on TV? No. And you know, I used to do cross country, and as you came to the end or as you came to certain parts in the course, there would be people. And they would begin to cheer you on. And then when they cheered you on, all of a sudden, the pain in your legs was less. And you just began to go, oh, okay, come on, I can do that. You would pick it up a bit. I need you to get into your heads that God never takes his eye off you. He is cheering you on. He is rejoicing over you. And he knows the good, the bad, and the ugly of your life. But he loves you that much that he's going, come on, son. Come on, daughter. And he even sings over you. You ever ask God, God, what song are you singing over me? Ask God. It's not Humpty Dumpty. Ask God, God, what song are you singing over me? A love song. A song of encouragement. A song of hope. Praise God. I want you to get that picture in your head of God. Jumping up and down, rejoicing in your life. Not tomorrow, not in your victories of yesterday, but today. Because that is his word into your life today. Amen. I was sent, next slide please, Phil. Thank you, Phil. Next slide please, Phil. There we go, Phil's good. Sent your monthly sort of thing, your little blurb for the week, praying your prayer information, looking at the kingdom, exploring our work with God. Isn't it a privilege to partner with God? You know, and I want to read a few verses for you. So just if you've got your Bibles or your apps, if you want to open them to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. And I think we know this passage really well, or I hope we do anyway. And it's verse 22. It says this, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Say out loud, walking on the sea. Walking on the sea. Say it like you mean it. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, shout out immediately. Immediately. We'll get there. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And then when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So I want you to hold that in your head. I have been the IMD, the International Missions Director, for all of 3 weeks. I know. Pray for me. It's an incredible privilege to hear what God is doing throughout the nations. Just Friday, I was talking to someone in Africa. I can't tell you where they are. It's an area where there is unrest, terrorism, persecution. And he'd been asking me for prayer as he went in to bring doctors, nurses, dentists, ophthalmologists, you know, the eye people thing, okay? And they were bringing, thank you. And they were bringing some government officials because there's so many displaced people to help them get their identity and all that sort of thing. And so we're talking, but really the objective was to bring, not all these things, but a practical demonstration of the love of Jesus. Don't tell people about Jesus, be Jesus to people. And so he was so excited because not only did it go well and it was protected and covered in prayer, but Jesus showed up and people experienced Jesus. The other day I was talking to Sharon, and Sharon is in what we would say in Northern Ireland, the sticks. Do you know what the sticks are? The outback. And she's in a place where there are no declared believers at all. Imagine that. And so they're translating the Bible, and they've translated it into these six ethnic languages. And not the whole Bible, they've just done Genesis, and they've done some of the Psalms. And so, but the culture there is very much a culture of getting together and singing. You sing your stories. Can you imagine that? It's like an Irish tradition. Huh? The Irish get everywhere. Sorry, okay, it's not maybe not that funny. And so she went to those six communities separately and said, look, you've been reading Genesis, you've been reading the Psalms. What would you like? We want to make a song that you can sing. All of them individually came back. We want the story of Joseph in song. All of them. They didn't go for each one going for something different. All of them individually came with one accord and said, we would like that. She says, God's in this, Marty. God's in this. Because what's going to happen is they're going to write songs for these community groups. They're going to sing. Then they're going to teach their children to sing. And the Word of God, remember when we used to sing the Word of God? Anybody older than 50? Yeah? We used to sing Bible verses fundamentally. But the Word of God will go into their hearts. It will be seed. I mean, what Pastor John's saying is pray for the youth that the seed that has been planted will grow. And I want to recruit you. I'm always recruiting. I want you to pray that those songs will be sung and the seed of those songs, the Word of God, will bear fruit. That they'll be declared believers in those communities. I love verses. Phil, next slide, please. There we go. Oh, that was. I missed that slide. We just go on. And I missed that slide as well, you can see. Go on. There you go. As you can see, I've got this IMD thing nailed down already. This is from Romans 8 and verse 19. And it actually ties in with what we were singing. For all creation gazing eagerly as if with outstretched neck is waiting and longing to see the manifestation of the sons of God. I believe in simple English, okay? In other words, I imagine that when you walk past a daffodil, I can see the daffodil turning its head, turn its face towards you. Why? It is waiting to see what you are going to do full of the power of the Holy Spirit. All creation gazing eagerly as if with outstretched neck. Is that amazing? They're not waiting to see what Pastor John's going to do. Or Big Ian. They're waiting to see what you, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, are going to do today. Next slide, please. See, I love verses like this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. What works did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He opened blind eyes. The lame could walk. Resurrected the dead. The works that Jesus did, if you believe in him, you will walk in those works. Wow. What level are we living at? What is our expectation of God in and through us? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, we don't even have to line them up. God lines up those works, a bit like Ola, talking about how God lined up. Yeah, there was the inconvenience. She didn't have a car, but God had a plan, and it brought her to that lady to have an impact, to sow a seed in her life. Look around you. In church, I always give permission for people to look around. Yep. Turn around and look at the people at the back. Yep. Yep. Go on in. That's you. That's you as well. You had a little look. Okay. Have a good gawk. Look at the people around you and imagine where they walk in their day by day. It's not the same place as you. We all have different areas that we're walking in. And God is preparing people and works for us to walk into to manifest his glory. How good is that? See, for me, that's amazing. But remember we read out those verses? Peter was walking on water. But then he took his eyes off Jesus. And what happened? He began to sink. He began to sink, and the situations and the circumstances began to, instead of being above them, he was coming underneath them. Everything's going well. We're living on fire for God, full of the Holy Spirit, and then something happens. Come on, who's experienced that and then? And it doesn't have to be something dramatic. Sometimes it can be a small thing. A little offense. A little hurt, but it grows and grows and grows. And, you know, you ever get a scab and you pick at it and it never really heals. And all of a sudden, instead of walking on water, because you are called to walk in the supernatural, you're called, all of creation is waiting to see what God wants to do in and through you, but all of a sudden you're sinking. I know what I'm talking about. I spent years sunk. I was walking with God, loving God. Something happened, and I sank. And I stayed. Maybe not the best English. I stayed sunk. I stayed sank. But you're with me. You understand what I'm trying to say. So as I was preparing to come here, I said, God, what do you want to say? And it can be something small, but it causes us to lose the focus of our mission. What is the focus of our mission? Next slide, please. It's go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is our commission. That is what we're to do on a daily basis. What does that look like? It's talking to the people that we always meet, loving them, pouring Jesus out upon them, sowing seed, building relationship, and taking it from there. Are you with me, church? But we don't do that or can't do that if we're living below the level which God has called us to live at. No longer above the situations or circumstances, no longer focusing on Jesus, what he would have us do, how he would have us live. We maybe get absorbed into a new job, into a new role, get absorbed into the youth, young ones at school, popularity. So many things can stop us living at the level God would have us live. But what is lovely is God is calling his church back to live in the more that he has. His attitude isn't, oh, you've fallen short. Oh, you're sunk. His attitude is, come on, son. Come on. I've got more for you. I love the fact that you are looking at consecration. And when you ask God to consecrate your life, it's like asking God to put a fire under your life. If you imagine yourself as gold, you say, God, consecrate us, purify us. God will light a fire under your life. What do I mean? Well, God wants to bring you forth like gold so that when people look at you, they can see him. So the gold must be pure. When we pray that God will consecrate our lives, when we pray, when we fast, the dross comes to the surface. Maybe a bad attitude. Maybe God reminds us of something we've said and we need to go back and put it right. We have a choice. Next slide, please, Phil. We have a choice. God brings the dross to the surface. We choose to skim it off. We choose to say, yes, today. I've lived at a lower level, but I choose today to stretch my hands out and say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me walk in the supernatural the way you've called me to walk. Jesus, I've just got this revelation that actually I'm living at a level which is below what you've called me to live at, and you're cheering me on, rooting for me to live at a level which will cause people to look at my life and say, I want to know his God. Look at my life and say, I give glory to God. I've put in my notes, you've got to skim off the dross or it'll just sink back down again. You got to deal with it. Or someone said today, you got to go through the process. See, I believe God wants to recommission some people today. Lift people up where they should have been. That's called restoration. God's restoration's like that. When we position ourselves before God, God does the restoration bit. What a relief. We don't. We do the willingness, we do the obedience, and he does the restoration part. I've watched lots of people trying to restore themselves. God does the restoration. We do the submission and the surrender. Lift people up to where they should have been so they can get on with what he has for them and live at his level and experience the more of God again. So, maybe a little bit different to what you're used to, but I'm going to ask you all to stand, okay? If that's okay. I'm an Irishman. Often we don't do volunteerism. We just tell you what to do, so forgive me. And if that's you, if you're a little like Peter and you've sunk a little, I want you to actually be like Peter. Do you all know that Peter could swim? If you read your Bible, you'll see after the resurrection, when Peter goes up to Galilee, he sees Jesus on the shore preparing the fish. And what he does is he jumps out of the boat and swim. If I'm in a dangerous situation and I'm drowning, the first thing that I am going to do is try and swim. That's your natural default, okay, is survival. But Peter, when he sank, he didn't try and swim. He lifted up his voice and said, Jesus, save me. And immediately, Jesus brought him up. Isn't that lovely? See, I believe in a God who restores. I believe in a God who has more. I believe in a God who believes in you more than you believe in yourself. That's the God who I know and I serve. And so now that I've got yous up, it's a bit scary, isn't it? You go, oh, never met this Irishman before. It's a bit risky. Thank you. Thank you for trusting me, okay? But if I want you to respond. I want you to raise a hand. And I'm not going to pray for everybody individually, okay, because I've got a little bit more to share with yous. But if that's you, I want you to just boldly say, actually, God, I want to live at a higher level. I want to live all that you have. So I just ask you to raise your hands. Just raise your hands right now. Thank you. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. I have my hand raised. This is my prayer every day. God, let me live at the level that you would have me live. God, let me live at the intimacy. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, God. I'm going to pray for you, and it's just, for me, God looks at the heart. My life, there's been times in my life where God has really intervened and transformed, and it's generally not someone laying hands on me. It's actually just me surrendering to God and being re-obedient. Does that make sense? Just saying, okay, God. And then believing the truth that he has a purpose for my life, the truth that he can work all things for his good because I love him. And so God, as God, you see our hearts. God, you see these raised hands. And God, these people have a heart to walk on water, not because they're anything special, but because they walk and they live and they breathe in you. So I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, honor their hearts. Honor the position of their hearts. God, where things, where it's been hurt, God, where it's been offense, where it's just been one setback after another, and then the wrong choices of complaining, of unthankfulness. God, you know every situation. But God, we speak in the name of Jesus. A raising up of your church. A renewing of the mind for your glory. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let you be seated. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? God's good. Expect, okay? I remember in my life, I was this hard-bitten, cynical Irish man. Okay, I went to church from knee high to a grasshopper, and if you're in church long enough, you'll get hurt. It's true, it's true. But if you're in a football team long enough, you'll get hurt. If you're in school long enough, you'll get hurt. If you're amongst people long enough, you'll get hurt. And Jesus doesn't say if you get offended, he says when. And so I always say offense is like a rugby ball. Okay, if you get on a rugby pitch with a rugby ball and you hold on to it, you're going to get flattened, aren't you? Come on. So what you do with offense is you get rid of it. You get rid of it. Do what you need to do to get rid of it. Cry out to God to bring healing. Cry out to God to help you forgive. But you do not hold on to that rugby ball or you will be flattened by the consequence of holding on to it. You hear me? I held on to it. I became cynical. I would go into churches and criticize. Hey, you would love me in those days. But I had a confrontation with the Holy Spirit. And it happened with a young man standing at the front of a church. He said, I want to tell you about the joy of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I knew he had the joy of the Holy Spirit. And I knew I didn't. I knew I had lost it. And then I made a very simple decision. God, I want the Holy Spirit back. I'll do what you want me to do. Please don't take it away. Not complicated. But God heard the positioning of my heart. God knows the position of your heart. God knows the cries. God knows what you've been through. And he is cheering you on. Amen. As I said, I'm only in my third week as IAMD, and I'm aware that the Elam family is incredible and it's doing so much. Already, I have heard of salvations in Romania, people giving their lives to the Lord, people searching these God connections in Estonia. One of our missionaries went to see a teacher's meeting, and then the teacher said, I'll give you a lift home. The lift home was an hour out of her way. But she felt that she was to accept it. And the teacher just wanted to hear her Jesus story. Heard stories about how God is training and teaching a new generation of people what discipleship means in Paraguay. Also, there's so much need. Just arrived in post and you get these messages. One of our teachers who takes care of kids, which are coming out of the brick factories in Pakistan, is being kicked out of the place that they have by the landlord. Which means those kids get kicked right back into slavery. And you're going, I've just arrived, God, what do you do? Another place, hundreds of children being fed, receiving the love and the word of God every day, but we don't have the resources to keep it open. Feel the pressure? But there's an element where I'm really excited. Because I really believe with all my heart that this is a new day globally, and God is calling his church to arise. Not just you, but every person. But we're all accountable for our positioning in that. Does that make sense? You have to talk to me. Otherwise, I become even more long-winded, and that could be painful for all of us. God is restoring his church. He is restoring hope. He is restoring expectation. He is restoring vision as only God can do. Come on. If you've been in church long enough, you can get wearied. Why does it say, do not grow tired in the good works that you do, but at the appointed time, you will reap a harvest. We do get wearied. We need to make sure that before God, we are refreshed in him. God is mobilizing his church as a mighty army. Often people see church as a hospital. No, it's more like an army barracks, but there is a nurse, there is a matron. You don't live in the hospital, you don't live in that area, you get fixed and you get back into boot camp where you're trained and prepared and sent out. Everybody with me? Why? Because God's desire is the great, fantastic news of the gospel is taken to the ends of the earth. And that means your neighbors, your colleagues, the people that you work beside, do life beside. And maybe you're saying, well, Marty, I've been around church. I just don't see how God is going to bring this. What you're talking about is global revival. Yeah, I suppose I am. So I want to tell you a little story to help you. Can I do that? A little story will take me probably an hour and a half, but I'll do my best to unpack it. Do you have popcorn? No, we'll see how we go. Okay. Everybody okay? Okay. Can I have my next slide, please, Phil? Oh, there we go. Lovely. Thank you. So I want to tell you about Anna Beatrice, okay? And Anna Beatrice was born in the heart of the Amazon in a place called Maués. And so let me put that into context, okay? To get to Maués, you'd have to fly to Sao Paulo, which is probably about 11-hour flight. Then you'd have to get another flight to Manaus, which is the capital of the Amazon state in Brazil, which is about another 4 hours. And then you'd have to get on a boat, and you'd, a bit like this, you'd put your hammock up, and about 20, 24 hours later, you would arrive in Maués, okay? Let me assure you that Maués is not a tourist destination. Okay, there is no TK Maxx, there is no Tenpin Bowls. It's for some men, it's a paradise. You with me? But there is a lot of illiteracy. Many children don't even go to school. The poverty, I always say there's a poverty level and then there's a misery level. And there many people live below the misery level. Bea's dad was a drunk. Maués, 36,000 population in the middle of the Amazon. The only way in there is by boat. And everybody in the city knew Bea's dad because at night he could be found sleeping in the gutter, sleeping in some of the parks in front of the square. Everybody with me? But you see, God has a mission. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that no one should perish. God has a mission that no one should perish. Isn't that lovely? So God sent a young Irishman a dentist. I'm talking about myself, by the way. Okay. To partner with the church out there and help them, and they had two strategies. One strategy was like life groups, outward-looking life groups. The next strategy was a school for 4, 5, and 6-year-olds to bring in the needy of the needy and teach them the Word of God. They were taught to read and write, but they were taught to read and write through learning the Word of God. They were clothed, they were fed, but the greatest thing was they were taught the Word of God. They weren't just taught the Word of God in some dry, meaningless way. They were taught the Word of God by people full of the Holy Spirit who loved them, and they experienced Jesus. You know, when a 4, 5, and 6-year-old experience Jesus, what they do is they go home and they take Jesus home with them. So Granny's sick, they've learned to pray. They lay hands on Granny and Jesus shows up. So because these 4, 5, and 6-year-olds who were getting full of Jesus as their friend, whole households were coming into the kingdom of God. Bea was given a place at the school. She heard about Jesus every day. Her teeth were awful, but I'd built a dental surgery, and so I got to treat Bea a lot. But Bea fell in love with Jesus. And as a young child, I think I've got a slide. There we go. Can you see Anna Beatrice, 4 years old? She gave her life to Jesus. And she brought Jesus home. And her mommy and daddy and sister saw Jesus in Bea. See, Jesus has an impact on our lives when we love him and we stay close to him. And so the school, the little school, was at the church, and Bea just wanted to be at the school. She wanted to be at the church all the time. Mommy, 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 let's go to church. Mommy, 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 let's go to church. Mommy, mommy, mommy. You know what mommy's going to do? Let's shut Bea up and go to church. It's true. It's true. Many's the time that's happened. Mommy went along, and she found that people loved her. And she didn't give her life to Jesus immediately, but she liked being in the presence of people who loved Jesus. She gave her life to Jesus. Daddy gave his life to Jesus, got delivered of alcoholism, got a job. Her sister gave her life to Jesus. The mummy, who had never really had a job because she'd got pregnant young with the kids, yeah? Rebecca is a third generation pastor. God bless you. Not just can you bake and cook. She has lots of wisdom and keeps me straight through lots of prayer. Amen. All right, love. And so Rebecca was the headmistress of the school. And so she took Bea's mommy and put her in the kitchen and trained her as a cook. Then she helped her get her GCSEs and her A-levels. And so now Bea's mum is actually at the back. Go back a slide. Go back a slide. Is at the back. That was her as a cook. Now her mum is a teacher in the school. But it gets better still. You see, God restores. He brings hope. He brings salvation. He brings transformation. And now, next slide, please. This is Bea. Bea's a dentist. Bea was born on the 4th of February. I was born on the 4th of February. And that gave us a connection. Does that make sense? As she went through the school, we always celebrated our birthdays together. Because she spent a lot of time in my dental chair, we spent time together. I didn't realize it. But my life had an impact on her life, so much so that she believed that even in a place of illiteracy, that she could get an education, that God believed in her, and so now she will graduate this year as a dentist. She studies in Manaus. Let's see if you've been paying attention, which is 20 hours away from Maues. But when she has holidays, she comes up to the school and she gives voluntary service to treat all the kiddies. You see, do not lose sight of the seed that you're sowing. I have been privileged that that came to me, and I got messages on my mobile phone because I'm still connected with Brazil. But many of the seed that you have sown that have grown up into maturity, that have produced fruit that produces fruit, you do not know the side of heaven. Don't lose heart. I'm nearly finished. Someone say amen. You're allowed to say amen. It's okay. We're allowed to have fun in church. God really loves me in spite of me. I think it's amazing. Come on. Get over yourself. Listen to me. Bea's story wouldn't have happened without people going. Bea's story wouldn't have happened without people praying, without people giving, without people telling. So I needed to go for her to encounter Jesus and his love through me. People had to pray to cover me and the work. People had to give. You saw the lovely uniforms. The food all comes through support. People have to tell what God is doing to get the news out there. Are you with me? Pode me dar uma folha? See, I'm recruiting this afternoon. It's just gone after 12. I'm recruiting this afternoon that you would be ambassadors, right? That you would be ambassadors with what God is doing through the nations. Are you with me? Can I have my next slide? Thanks, Phil. Go, pray, give, and tell. Not complicated. See, I'm recruiting you to help reach the nations. How can we be more fruitful? It's dead easy. When you sow a little seed into good ground, it bears much fruit. When you sow a little seed, doesn't need to be a big seed, a little seed into good ground, it bears much fruit. So many people have heard of pound by pound. If you've heard of pound by pound, you guys should know about pound by pound. Raise your hands. There we go. Right? Some people. Brilliant. And so pound by pound for me is a great opportunity. It's an opportunity to partner with what God is already doing. Why is it called pound by pound? You give a pound a week, which adds up to about £4 a month, okay? And then that goes to where the greatest need is, okay? You with me? So sort of for the price of a coffee, you send money every month. Why is that important? As a missionary, I think it's great when people give a great offering. Lovely. But what you need is something sustainable month by month, You need faithful giving. You with me? It's not complicated. You say, well, Marty, wouldn't it be better? £100. I said, yeah, I'll take all your money. God bless you. Okay. But there's 60,000 people who come along to Elam churches. If everyone gave a pound, that would work out at just about 3 million. Imagine the beers that we could impact. See, imagine the individuals. Because often it's people talk about numbers and they get, it's about people's lives. Imagine the individuals. Imagine the communities. Imagine the nations. See, I have to say, I am excited because I really believe in people. I believe that God has called me. I don't have much gifts. I don't pretend to. But I have one gift. I believe in people. And so I'm called to call out what God has already put in you. Does that make sense? You can give more. I'm learning. Some people say, Marty, just don't ask for a pound. You can give more. You can sign up to more. There you go, Ian. You can teach me some lessons afterwards. Sometimes we don't give because we don't have much to give, and then we think it won't make a difference. I'm signed up to pound by pound. Can I let you into a secret? I'm only signed up to a pound a week. But my wife is signed up to a pound a week. My son is signed up to a pound a week. My daughter is signed up to a pound a week. We have in our heart amazingly enough, I was a missionary in Brazil. So Brazil's in my heart. So we give to Brazil. But actually, God gives me opportunity to call people into more. And so we sent missionaries to France. And because God used us, we support missionaries in France. You don't have to be stuck on one thing. That's what I'm saying. I know that there are many nations in this church. But my heart would be, as a church, if we all individually could sign up to Pound by Pound, that would be a real good bread and butter for what God wants to do in the nations. Does that make sense? And then churches. Rebecca, as you know, is a pastor, and we were pastoring together for 8 years. And she came to me and says, Marty, there's this lady, Linda Murray. Some of you may have heard of her. She's going to India. Can we get her some money? I says, love, we've just raised money for Rwanda. Love, we're just doing this here. She says, come on, Marty. And what do you think? She says, well, let's get the ladies together and we'll do a pamper night for the ladies. We'll do their nails, we'll do facials, and we'll raise some money. And so I said, where you go? Let's do it. So she got some of the ladies in the church taking care of the ladies in the church. It's not a good idea. And they had to pay for it, even better. Then some of the ladies, which wouldn't happen in this church, were complaining. Wouldn't happen in this church. Because I always do curry for the men, and they hadn't had a curry. And so I said, just to help them be thankful to God and not complain, I said, I'd make a curry. But actually, we have a chef in the church, and he says, Marty, I think it would be better I made it. And so in one night, they raised over £1,000. You see, can I have my next slide, please? Next slide after that. See, I believe this. Together, we can. Does that make sense? Together, we can. I'm going to ask Rebecca to give you all a pound by pound. I don't do hard push, okay? I've been a missionary for over a decade. And I don't mean this badly. God doesn't need you. God can raise up other people. It's a blessing and a privilege to partner with God. Some of our supporters and some of our greatest supporters were actually from outside of Elam. This isn't being recorded, is it? Oh, Father God. But I want you to take it and pray about it. And if you can give a pound a week, praise God. If you can't, there's no pressure. Does that make sense? If you can give more, praise God. What I'm going to do in this job, and I say everything's subject to change, is try and give a monthly update. Ian can tell you how difficult that is because there's so many other things going on. But so that you know where your seed is going. Does that make sense? So if you can do that, I thank you. Also, if you go back, Phil, a couple of slides to go pray, tell. Can you go back? Yeah, there you go. Tell. It's not on the piece of paper yet. Tell. When you partner with God as doing, their fruit becomes your fruit. And that gives you the right to tell people what God is doing. Be an ambassador for what God is doing. You with me? People ask you, so what's new in your life? Well, let me tell you about this. You wouldn't believe the number of non-Christians that support what God is doing because God has put his heart within them anyway. You with me? Amen. Let's all stand. Miracle upon miracles. I didn't go over 2 hours. Hallelujah. But that's for next week. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we come before you. And God, I pray. God, you've been speaking to us the whole way through this service. Right from when we came in. And God, I pray just as we still our hearts. That you would just burn off the dross, and that would remain, would be gold. God, those words that you want to burn into our hearts, how you're singing over us. God, those words that with you, nothing's impossible. So God, I pray that as we go, we would go walking on water with our eyes fixed on you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.